Welcome. You're listening to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, live from the International Fly Tying Symposium at the Sheraton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey. Fly Fishing Journeys is proud to be broadcasting live from the event and having great conversations with many of the finest fly tiers in the world. You can find these podcasts posted to our website, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Facebook. To stay up to date with these and other Fly Fishing Journeys adventures, please be sure to follow and subscribe. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Josh Miller is a member of Team USA, as well as being the coach for the Team USA youth team. He hails from Pittsburgh, PA, and loves fishing around his home state of Pennsylvania. As much as this is true, he was fortunate enough to fish in multiple countries this year, including coaching in the World Youth Championship. He serves as a fishing guide with his guiding service called Trout Yeah. He's an expert fly tier and he ties at many of the fly fishing events, including this one at the International Fly Tying Symposium. Josh, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me here, Rob. First, before we even get started, I just want to say that it's awesome seeing how enthusiastic you are about this stuff. Super cool, man. So thanks for doing these things.
No, it's my pleasure, Josh. Thank you so much for saying that. That's very kind. I know you're a competitive fly fisher. You're a passionate trout guy. And I just found out this week that you have a love for pike.
Yeah, man, I can't get enough of the pike. Love them.
Tell me about pike fishing. What is so exciting about pike fishing for you?
Well, pike fishing, it's fun for the eat, of course. But just the journey and where we're catching them, it's so different than what we do now.
You know, right,
fishing fast water, and this is just fishing something crazy different. A big fish, you can catch them kind of locally.
So right.
It's cool. It's fun.
Are there any destinations that you've gone to that have big pike that you've like, wow, I love that. That was awesome. I want to go back there.
I haven't fished too many areas yet for them. That's why I was asking you about
your pike.
Yeah, in Canada a bit.
Yeah.
Seeing where you go up there, because I was like, uh-oh, if there's a chance to catch pike.
It's a place called Trophy Lake. I mean, it was in Quebec. It's a place that it's this little small lodge. I mean, it sleeps basically three, but we fit in four. And it's got bunks. They had an extra bed in the bathroom. You're just like a float plane. They drop you off for the week. We were really targeting Lakers and brook trout. But we saw that there was this back little channel pond. You basically walk the boat back there and you get out and you're almost like poling in this little pond. And you could hit the bank from all sides, and there were pike in there. It was like we named it Crocodile Bay.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I wish I could do the muskies and get them successfully, but the pike are just easier for me, man. The muskies, like the crown jewel, but it's just too hard.
A lot of casts for a muskie.
I'm just not good at it yet, but yeah, it's super fun. Just something different, that's all.
Yeah, I remember you were saying when I was telling you that, you know, you drop that fly in there and like you see the wake of the pike.
Yeah, it just disappears. You see the gill flare and just cool.
Yeah, I had one on it. I mean, we were in that Crocodile Bay and I had him. I couldn't land him and he was like circling. Like my whole rod just went entire 360 degrees around the boat. He was like circling us like a shark.
Yeah, they're crazy, man. It's cool.
Pike fishing. Well, you're part of Team USA, part of the national team. I think, you know, a lot of listeners might not know about competitive fly fishing and Team USA and how it works and who's on the team and the events that you have and the events that you hold. And can you tell listeners a little bit about Team USA?
Yeah. So Team USA is a group of 15 people that what we do is have regional qualifiers, and they will qualify us to fish in nationals. And what we do is we go off a point system. As you fish the qualifiers, you get a certain amount of points, and then those kind of qualify you to fish in nationals. And then after nationals, your points from nationals and the qualifiers, it's accumulation of those points is who makes the team. So how the team is, it's a top 15, and six get to fish on the world's team, and that's actually in the world championship. And then the remainder of the team of the 15 are like a support, you know, maybe tires, and we figure stuff out. And yeah, it's a group thing, and it's a great organization.
And so there's like three different divisions, is that right? You have the seniors.
Seniors,
you have the adults.
Yes.
And then the youth team.
Yeah, the youth team, yeah.
What are the ages for these three divisions?
The youth team is from, I don't know if there's like a cutoff from how young you could be, but usually around like the 13, maybe even a little younger, but to 18. And depending on how your birthday is that year, you might even be 19, but you're still the way it works. But then the adult would be that 18, 19 to, I think it's 55.
Okay.
And then the senior team is above that. And it's awesome. We have some really good people on the senior team this year, like Lauren Williams and Jeff Currier, just good people out there.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
If Jeff Currier is on the senior team, then I want to be on the senior team.
Yeah, me too someday.
I don't qualify.
Super cool.
I don't qualify. Uh-huh. I know you're giving me that look, but I don't qualify. No, I'm teasing. You're not giving me that look.
A little bit.
Couple years. I got a few more years to go. Seven more years.
I got a touch of gray on the sides too already.
Yeah. Well, that sounds super fun, man. It must be fun being on the Team USA.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just a group of good guys, and you learn a lot, and you get to share that, and that's... It's just cool. It's just really good stuff.
Well, that's one thing I noticed about you, especially when we were talking at your booth. You have the tying station here at the International Fly Tying Symposium. When that young kid came over and was looking up to you and he knew you and was talking to you, you just were like so kind to put that time in to just connect with that young man and talk to him about fly tying and talk to him about fly fishing. That was really impressive, man. So kudos to you for... Looking out for that young generation.
It's just more of, we got to do not the right thing, but, get the kids involved in a positive manner and uplift them and get them going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So how do the events work? Like, how do you qualify? Like, how would somebody, if somebody was either a youth or even an adult, how would you go about finding out about Team USA and, like, maybe trying to qualify for the event?
So we have more of, like, a local scene that does it, and we encourage... someone go to try a local competition, just see if it's for you. It might be, it might not be. And that's what's good about this.
Right.
Some people like it, some don't. That's okay.
So is there a website?
There's multiple. There's flycomps.com.
Okay.
That's a good one. Flyfishteamusa.com, usuflyfishingteam.com. There was one called Trout Legend that did competitions. There might be the National Fly Fishing League.org maybe. Maybe one more. I don't remember all the names.
But... if somebody could go to, like, say, what was the flyfishteamusa.com?
Yeah.
And they could find out about the regional events?
Flycomps.com.
Flycomps.com.
Where would be most swimmers put, yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to, myself, or not that I'm going to, like a friend wanted to try out. I'm asking for a friend.
You want to do it,
I'm asking for a friend.
No, you
want to
do it.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to do it. But if I did, I would go to flycomps.com.
Yeah.
And I could find out where there was a regional event.
Yeah, and you could sign up on there, too. Yeah.
Sign up.
Yeah.
And then show up. Would you get a bead, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's not complicated, but it's just kind of strange how it works. But we have short beats on the water, 100 yards long. Then you rotate a certain amount of hours. And
right.
There's some rules, but all that's on there, too, you can read.
On a regional event, like, is it by... you have to measure, like, how do you catch a fish? What happens next?
You catch a fish, and you'll have someone that will be watching and controlling you. You keep the fish in the net underwater. You carry it over, and they look at the fish and quickly measure it, quickly release the fish safely, and then they write that down. And then it's gone off of how many we catch, or if there's a tie, we go off of size. There's a little other points, but they're
like
a little confusing.
Type stuff.
It's kind of, but it's more about... the actual act of the fishing, it's just like this for me. It's you get to meet people, you get to have fun,
right?
You get to share and learn, and yeah, it's awesome. It's just a good time. It's
so
just good stuff.
You have the numbers of fish that you caught, you go by numbers, and then you also incorporate the size of the fish.
If there's more of a tiebreaker, yeah.
Okay.
That's how we, yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds easy enough.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
But pretty stiff competition, right? There's some pretty good fly.
Yeah, there's very good people. Yeah, and that's another good thing about the competition. It's always building up our pool of anglers here. Everyone's just getting better, and
right,
we're all
right.
growing together, and yeah, it's good.
So the top so many then become, do you have to do more than one competition
so
to get to nationals?
You could fish, we usually, so it's a 2-year cycle.
Okay.
So once you make the team, you're on it 2 years, and then you have to qualify again for the next 2 years.
Yep. Okay.
So this is my second time on the, so this will be my 4 years
on the
it.
Team USA. Now, tell me about coaching, because you're also a coach for the youth team.
Yeah, so Calvin Kalaz and myself do the coaching, along with Gordon Vanderpool and Brian Kimmel. They're the southern and the west coast. We kind of take up regions.
Right.
And then Calvin and I take them to, last year we took them to Poland for the world championship, and the year before to Slovenia,
that
which both were
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
To see those kids get a chance to fish in another country must be...
Yes, it's that, and to represent the United States as
of course,
you know, as a it's a responsibility, and it's respectful, and it's awesome.
So these youth do the regional events, and then they qualify. Now, do you get the kids together for like coaching and fishing and teaching?
That's another good thing we do. We do how do I call it? Like clinics around the country, 2-3 days. Have your kid come learn from like legends like George Daniel, Joe Humphreys, local guys. Like we have. There's too many to talk about, but yeah, I don't want to leave anybody out.
You get together,
and then we teach them for 2-3 days. Yep. And then they're invited to fish the nationals.
Right.
So it's like the adult team, and a little bit different in how we choose the team, but similar. And then those guys get to go and fish, you know.
So let me see. You make the team, and then you get together, and you're teaching them, and Joe Humphreys is teaching the youth. And
before you even make the team, even the kids that just want to come and learn get to experience that too.
That's awesome. With very good coaches. How do I sign up to be on the youth team?
Yeah, your son can.
All right. So I can't be on the senior team, and I can't be on the youth team, so I have to try out maybe for the adult team.
Yep.
But I'm sure that's pretty fun too.
That's very fun, yeah.
We're going to take a short break in our podcast to thank you, our listeners. We are really excited you found our podcast, and we hope you are enjoying them. One thing we have seen is so many of the early podcasts are still being listened to. People tell us all the time that they start listening to the podcast, they subscribe, then they go back to the start and listen to all the episodes. That's so cool. Thank you. We are happy to announce the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast has just been approved on the Google Play Music Store. So along with Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify, we should have all the major podcast channels covered. If there are other channels you think we should be on, please let us know. You can also listen directly on our website, flyfishingjourneys.com. If you like our podcast, I would ask that you subscribe on your favorite player and please leave us a review. I know Apple Podcast reviews are very helpful in the show being found. We want to send it back to the show, but first I need to thank one of our key sponsors, The Fly Fishing Show. Show season is about to kick off in Denver the first weekend in January. Then the show comes back east. We have the Greater Boston Show in Marlboro, Mass. Then down to Edison, New Jersey, we have the tri-state flavor of New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. Many people come up and down the coast from New England, Maryland, and Delaware. Edison is probably the most international show as well. Then the show travels down south to Atlanta the first weekend of February. The Atlanta show is typically a Friday-Saturday show because it lands on Super Bowl weekend. What else is in Atlanta the first weekend of February this year? Well, the Super Bowl. This should be an amazing weekend all around. Then the show travels to the Pacific Northwest. The Linwood, Washington show is just outside Seattle and is February 16th and 17th. The following weekend is a 3-day show just outside of San Francisco in Pleasanton, California. Finally, the show has its big finale in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on March 9th and 10th. For more information on all the programs, seminars, celebrities, and authors, as well as dates and times for all the events, visit flyfishingshow.com. You can also purchase advance tickets to all the shows, as well as a ticket to the International Fly Fishing Film Festival. Now back to the podcast. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you kind of gave us kind of a picture of what that youth team and that adult team and senior team looks like for Team USA and competition. Now, what is it like for the dads who have the kids on the youth team when they see their sons going overseas to compete in like a Slovenia or a Poland? That must be really
I don't have any kids yet. I can't speak on it too much, but the questions, they ask a lot of questions, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Even the moms, I love the moms.
The moms.
They almost can't say more involved with that, but you hear from them a lot. But luckily, I don't take the questions. Calvin takes the emails for them, so God bless him.
Yeah, but they must be proud of their kids and having that type
Absolutely.
Of experience.
Yeah, it's cool. The parents are always invited to come, of course, and it's nice because there's like an opening ceremony, and they, you know, come down the street with our, you know, our flag to the national anthems of each country.
That's awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. It's
like the Olympics.
In a way, yeah.
The Olympics of fly fishing.
That's
so cool. What is the waters like in like a Slovenia? Like what type of waters are you guys fishing?
Oh, they're all different. And the fish species are even different. So how this works is there's multiple countries that compete in this, and they each country maybe not every country, but we try to do it in a different country each year, of course, for diversity. And so some countries don't have great access to just trout, so we fish for other species too, like barbel and grayling and these species called nace and just crazy things. Even chub were involved, and pike too, actually. So we have great resources here in the U.S., but maybe in one of those countries there's not.
Right.
So that's what those people have to fish for, so that's what we fish for.
I know the grayling over there can be pretty awesome.
Yeah, grayling are beautiful, yeah.
And can be big.
We caught some big ones in both Poland and Slovenia.
Yeah. Pretty clear water.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's clear, yeah.
Mountain streams. The Slovenia was more of like a freestone river you'd see out west, where Poland was like a big tailwater, like the Delaware, but very shallow.
Wow.
Very shallow and slow. Yeah. Challenging. Super different. So techniques, you know, these kids got to learn so many techniques and be very quick to change and be diverse. So it makes you very, I don't want to say good, but it makes you way better.
Can you coach them up on their beat, or once they're on their beat, they're on their own?
Yeah, so Calvin can talk to them once they're mid-session, but I cannot. So I can only call Calvin to come and talk to them.
Okay, so they basically pick one coach to work with the kids
on
the beat.
Yeah, Calvin is, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And there's obviously lots of rules and regulations for hooks and flies.
There's a little bit, yeah. But it's pretty, it seems always be for the fish's favor. Barbless hooks, you know, you can't use crazy big hooks. You can't use,
right,
you know, just those kind of smart.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fish protection.
Yep.
Well, speaking of techniques, I'm glad you actually went there, Josh, because I want to get into a little bit of the techniques of what you teach the kids.
Sure,
and I know
yeah.
we've talked a bit about like Euro nymphing and nymphing and high stick nymphing, or some of the conversations we've had here at the symposium. But what would be like the difference? I know Euro nymphing is like a big thing right now. It's a buzzword, and some people may not understand Euro nymphing. So, you know, when you nymph fish, typically sometimes you go dry dropper, or, you know, just a nymph on its own, swinging a nymph, or maybe putting it under a strike indicator. What would you say the main difference is between, like, using a strike indicator and a two-fly nymph rig versus, say, Euro nymphing or check nymphing?
So with an indicator, you're at more of the mercy of the surface of the water. So if the water's going fast on the surface, your indicator's going to grab that faster water and pull it faster. So your nymphs underneath are going to be swept a little bit faster. With a tight line, you are going, your tippet is what's breaking the water surface. So it's much thinner than your indicator. So it's going to slow your nymphs down slightly, making them more natural speed to the fish if the fish are down deep, which most of the time they are.
That's really cool. Yeah. So you get drag faster with a strike indicator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's out in that faster water, and it's a bigger, you know, it's a strike indicator, so it can pull faster. If you're high stick tight lining, you're basically just working with the monofilament or the leader.
To a point, yeah. There's every situation is different. Every fish are different, or species of fish are different, where you're, you know, so all those things come into factor. Tight lining is not always the best, but
right.
some situations it seems to catch more fish, yeah.
Now, is there a difference between tight lining and Euro nymphing?
No, it's all... Well, there's a lot of differences in, like, styles of, let's call tight lining or Euro nymphing, but it's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
There's different countries that have different leader styles and this and that, but nowadays it's kind of getting smushed together as, you know...
Right.
It's one thing, but that's okay.
How about, like, flies? Like, because I see, like, a ton of these different style flies on, like, the internet, Facebook, and you'll see them, and they have different colors, and they have different like size beads, and it's like not like a beadhead pheasant tail, it's just a completely different fly, and it's just with different size beads and heads or weights.
Yeah.
How does that work in check nymphing as far as the weights?
The weights, so fly design is important to us. If I could give one piece of advice for this, try to fish the lightest flies you can for the application. I think a lot of times when I'm doing my guiding or fishing, people want to go very heavy and fish heavier flies and more, I hear, like, bounce the bottom. That's not what I try to do. Not saying mine's better or worse. I try to fish lighter flies, and I've had more success with that.
Okay, so lighter flies, you still want them to reach the
bottom. You still want them to get in. You want them to get in their zone, which might not be the bottom or close to. But
right.
If you fish heavy, how much does a nymph in the world weigh if you go flip up a rock and weigh, and it doesn't weigh anything really,
right?
An actual bug. And you know, if you fish this very heavy fly, you'll get down to that slower water on the bottom, and then it will just kind of stick on the bottom.
Hung there,
you don't
get hung
all
up.
The time want that. I want it to get to the bottom, but kind of roll in that soft water. So you want a lighter fly to do that.
Right.
Sometimes it's all situational, but that's where I've had my success.
So would it be true to say in like Euro nymphing or Czech nymphing or high sticking, you have the weights of the fly determined like by the water level, the rapids or how fast that water is moving,
sure,
will determine the weight of that fly, as opposed to just putting another piece of split shot on there?
Yeah, so we don't fish with any split shots at all. We fish
right.
all weight of flies. And yes, we will change weights for the situation. You can change other things without changing your weight. You can so if you walk up to a run and it's a little deeper, a little faster, you can change your cast. You can change your rod angles. There's a few things you could do to get the fly down. If that doesn't work, then the last thing I do is change the weight of the fly. Remember, everything's situational.
Sure.
In this.
I want to get and talk to you. I know you've traveled a bunch. I want to kind of dive into some of the trips you've did. But one of the questions I want to ask you before we moved off to the competition is, in life, you know, we have so much competition in our life. You know, if you have a job, that may be competitive. If you have kids in sports, that's competitive. If you're in sales, that's competitive. So somebody might come to fly fishing and say, there's competition everywhere in my life. Why is there? I didn't even know that fly fishing had competition, number one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And why do we have to have competition in a sport that it was just supposed to be my recreation?
Yeah.
Do you ever get
sure.
that question?
All the time.
And
yeah.
Then why? What would be your response?
Well, the first thing I'd say is teach their own. Some people do fly fishing for some whatever sport or whatever thing you do it because you like it.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter why you like it. It's that you like it.
Sure.
And that's what makes fly fishing special. Some people tie flies to tie flies. They don't fish. Some people fish and don't tie flies.
Right.
You know, so teach their own. And that's what makes it great to me. But I will say this. In that competition, the things that we're learning is, you know, if anyone out there is listening hears Perdigones, they hear Spanish leader, they hear these tight line rods. I mean, that's the stuff that we are,
sure.
you know, so we're in Slovenia and you have a very fast, deep river. And the rules are one fly. You can't fish split shots. How do you get a small, the fish will only eat small flies. How do you get that down to the fish? You know, Perdigones were developed. So that stuff that the general public is, I can't say benefiting from, but, you know, learning and enjoying and using, a lot of times competitors have thought about and figured out. So
right.
That's why I like doing it, especially because it's like, it really pushes me to the next level.
You kind of digging in deeper into
we're
the
digging
sport
in deep,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And in the friendships and the people we meet. And
right.
I can't take that away.
So at the end of the day, it's friendships, it's
yeah,
camaraderie,
it's yeah.
competition. You know,
it is, yeah.
And,
well, it gets tight too.
But it's also a deep going deeper into fly fishing, if you will, because you're learning all kinds of new stuff that maybe you never even thought of before. And just being in competition teaches you to be a better fly fisher.
I think so. Yeah.
I have a good friend who is really passionate about competitions. Gary Henke's over in Alberta. And even just the stuff that he was teaching me when I was fishing with this summer with, you know, really just fishing with just a leader, you know, the colored leader,
mm-hmm.
no line. You're basically just dropping that leader material in like a Euro nymphing technique.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
You know, I went through and he went through behind me and
catch fish.
He got a lot of fish.
Yeah, it's a fish catching way, man.
And so, yeah, so I'm glad we're bringing some exposure to the competition to just help people understand that there's...
Absolutely.
It's not just competition for competition.
And there's positives and negatives to it, just like anything in the world.
Sure.
You know? But that's okay.
We were talking about Chile. You've been down there?
Ah, yeah. Chile was enjoyable.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your trip to Chile?
Sure. I got to enjoy Cinco Rios in the southern part of Chile. It wouldn't be like Tierra del Fuego south, but it's kind of still in the bigger
there.
Mountains.
Yep.
Yeah, beautiful spring creeks we got to fish, mountain streams, bigger rivers. Fish were just spectacular. Fishing these big size, I don't know, man, big, like four beetles. And just
wow.
Having these fish slowly come up.
On
and,
top?
Oh, yeah. Like you see this fish in this blue water like appear, and then it feels like forever to come eat the fly, and I mean forever. And then it slowly eats it, and you got to wait like, forever.
You gotta let it before you set it, huh?
But it's cool. Yeah, it's very cool. And the people down there are spectacular. They're very welcoming. And it's just, if anyone, of all the countries I've fished so far, I'd say that's that place and those people and the fishing is just, it's just warm and welcoming and it's great.
You stayed at Cinco Rios?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about the lodge.
They kind of have two lodges. It's like split. there's one that has a Spring Creek aspect to it up on the hill.
Okay.
And down at the main lodge, or I think it's the main lodge, they have like more of the mountain stream options.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's basically Patagonia.
Yeah. It's as pretty as it gets, man.
Yeah.
You think you're in Montana, but, you know.
And the fishing's far from the lodge or pretty close? Or
no, you can fish right behind the lodge, and there's many access. I guess, I don't know if it's private or access, but they have access. You kind of have like boats cached everywhere, and you know, drive and you see the boat and then they zip up the river. Yeah, it's great.
That's pretty cool. And then there's one other trip you were telling me about is Iceland.
I did Iceland, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Iceland.
What parts of Iceland were you?
I only fished one day in the furthest northeast corner. My wife and I went out there to just wanted to enjoy time with my wife.
It was a social trip, yeah. And then you did one day of fishing.
Yeah, and the guys that go to the show here, actually, I'm sitting behind this banner in Iceland.
Mr. Ben Frimsky.
Yeah,
right,
he has
there.
An epic fish of, I assumed it was Iceland, because they kind of have that silvery look to it.
It was Iceland.
Dude, he caught some monsters there, but yeah, it was a nice place.
It's a big brown.
Yeah, it's a big fish. But we fished, the Lasna River.
Okay.
So there's a fella named Mateus, IcelandicFishingGuides.com. Yeah, he hooked me up with a permit to go fish this river, and it was, oh man, I loved it. I just told him I want to catch char, just whatever.
You caught char?
I didn't at first. I caught some sea trout, which was a bonus.
Yeah.
And I fished this other part, and I caught some resident brown trout, was a bonus. And then at the end of the day, I found the char, and they're fun. Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
Fishing was really good.
Big colored char?
Yeah, I caught some big ones, big bright red ones. And
that's my dream fish.
Right, it was really cool. Really cool. Yeah.
Josh, if somebody wanted to get more information, connect with you, whether it be Team USA or a trip or your guiding service, how would they do that?
They can go to troutyeah.com or
just search.
Trout Yeah.
I heard there's a video, an old video about there Trout is. Yeah. Google it or YouTube
Trout,
yeah. it.
It's fun.
Josh, it's been great having you on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.